I've delivered. Surrounded by the arms. then you may be seated.
Good morning, everyone. Hope everybody had a wonderful summer. Now, I knew there was a reason why I told Jody not to take the Christmas tree down, so hope everybody made it here safe this morning on those roads, and it's back to a little bit of the white stuff this morning. So, not much to do in the bulletin this morning. I just want to make highlight of the billet's needed still, so please take a look at the sign-up sheet down and by the register, or by the down in the foyer there. And also, there's a baby shower for Sadie Marie Gates today. So if you're wanting to go to that, there's some directions on there. I do have to call up a couple of people today, so we'll start with Pastor Chris. You wanted to come up.
I just wanted to say hello on behalf of the Belize team. We arrived safely Friday night, got home about midnight, and it was an excellent, wonderful trip that we had down there. The youth worked extremely hard. It's good to see. The next week, Sunday, is going to be a major presentation. We just need a little bit of time to put together a slideshow and testimonies, and the youth are going to put it on, so then you will hear all about our trip down there. I did try to think of three things that were distinctive about this trip compared to others, and that so I thought of two, and the two leads to a third. The first one is that it was very full, the schedule. The first time I went down there, we did each youth did 5 2-hour VBSs, and last time we did 10, and this time we did 12, and so we were really packing it in. Along with other things. The second thing that made it distinctive was that it was hot. And I was playing mini sticks on a basketball pad and the sun reflecting off that concrete. And I have to say, for the very first time, I thought, perhaps it is too hot to be doing this. And then it didn't get so much hotter, it's just more humid, so that the Belizeans themselves were complaining about, "Why, it is hot out here." So if they're complaining about it, then it was quite a thing for us. And then, of course, the shock of being here in Linden yesterday just made Belize feel like a million miles away. So then that led to the third thing, is that, we were spent by the end. We could not have done another day. Still, that last day, it was the hottest and humidest. I know for my team, we had the biggest number of kids. They were not easy to control, and gave a little speech to the team beforehand saying, you know, let's finish strong here. There wasn't any complaining from the youth. We were short-handed, three. Two were sick, and a mom stayed behind, and they just did extremely well, and I don't remember it being a particularly difficult day. So we got to the end. And then, this is a neat picture that always happens the day we leave. It's of the team. And it's 6:30 in the morning before we head out. And I think you can just see the pleasure on their faces of having done it, and done it well, because they really did. Those aren't kids up there. Those are young men and women. And just such a pleasure to see them do so well, take so much pride in it and joy in it, and love those kids. So they are going to be presenting to you next week, and they will be doing it, and it should be excellent.
Jody always gets nervous when I'm up here. I don't know why. She has an announcement as well. I'll be easy on her today. I don't.
We're always happy to bring you guys entertainment in the morning. So this is just an announcement for the ladies. Sorry, boys and men. This is in your bulletin. If you did not get one, excuse me, let me know and we will get you one. This is just a reminder for our tea and testimony next Sunday. So in there, it has the time, which is 2:30, and we'll be in the church basement. And then we have Diana Gerritsen and Alice Clausen both speaking. And then we will have a few of the Belize team members also just share one or two points that just kind of stuck out to them. So we just hope to have a really good crowd for that. And then, we'll see you there. Thank you.
I don't know, I have a reputation of throwing her under the bus, apparently. So. All right, let's call the ushers forward, and we'll pray for the offering. I was going to note, Chris, were those jerseys from the soccer?
Oh, yeah.
Well, those the blue ones were, I think, ours. Yeah, so it's kind of neat. When we were going through the soccer shed this year, we found loads of extra old jerseys from years gone by, and then Keith and I had talked about, because I always like to take jerseys down there, so it's kind of neat to see. So you may have recognized some of your kids may have played in those jerseys years ago, so that's kind of neat that we could do that. Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, we just praise you, your name, for another day, and we just thank you for the moisture that we received, and we just pray that everyone that was on the road last night made it somewhere safe, and that there was no, we just thank you that there was no injuries or casualties, and despite the bad roads and some of the cars in the ditches, that everyone was able to make it somewhere safe, and we just praise your name for that, Lord. This morning, I want to just lift up the people on the back of the bulletin here. I want to pray for Selma Falk, as she is living in the Westview Care community. And with that, we also pray for her husband, David Falk, and just pray for strength and peace as he watches his wife's memory fade. Lord, it's always a tough thing. And also, we want to pray for their son-in-law, Doug Thurn. Just pray for healing for the damaged vocal cords due to the radiation. And he would love to be able to sing again and praise your name, Lord. We just pray for healing there. Also, we want to pray for Corrine Griffin. She has a date for her repeat surgery for her brain tumor, and we just pray that the delicate surgery will be safely accomplished and that there won't be any setbacks or that they will be minimal, Lord. Also, Lord, I want to pray for Bill Gates as he makes adjustments to the lack of physical strength in his daily life, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the safe return of the Belize trip, our Belize team, and looked like they had an amazing time and doing your work in Belize, and we look forward to hearing what they did next week. And Lord, I want to lift up those in the community who have unspoken needs, just that you will hear their prayers and their needs, Lord. I also want to pray for our local MLA, Nathan Cooper, pray that he that your work will be done through him, whether intentionally or unintentionally, that just your will be done through his actions. And Lord, I want to lift up Ryan Kung, who's at the University of Lethbridge studying chemistry, and also want to just pray a blessing on him and Katri as they were married yesterday, and just pray that you'll bless them as they live in Lethbridge and do your work in their church there, Lord. And also, Lord, I want to lift up Corey and Masami Giesbrecht as they do your work in Japan, and just pray that you continue to bless them there, Lord. Also want to pray a blessing on the offering, that it will go to meet the needs around the world and the missions that we have with our church, Lord. And I just pray that in your name. Amen.
To come up to the front. Last week, I didn't get to be at our Easter service, and I really regretted not being able to. We were down in Belize, of course. So I wondered if you could tell me what happened last Sunday at the Easter service. Anyone make a description? You can. Thank you, Chloe.
There was the African Children's Choir here. They were really good at dancing and singing.
Did you go up there and join them, Chloe? Why not? No, that's really fun. I'm sure that... Did any of you have them over at your house? No. I was talking to one man who had them over, and he loved it. They were very fun. Okay, let me pray for you, and I'll send you down to your Sunday school class. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for how you take good care of us. And we thank you for Easter, when we remember that you rose from the dead. And that is our hope, too, that we do not need to fear death, but we, too, will one day rise from the dead. Just pray for the Sunday school class, that you would bless the teachers and bless the kids, and may it be a great thing as they learn about you. Amen. All right, you can head down.
Check this out. Located just a short drive from Thailand's capital is the small city of Chechensao. Nudged in a narrow section of strip mall is the Hope Center. It might seem insignificant from the street, but the strategic Christian ministry coming out of this building is massively significant. Here are six things that inspire me about the Hope Center. First off, I love the fact that this Christian ministry has a storefront. Being located in a strip mall makes the Hope Center accessible to the general public and creates a welcoming environment to everyone who stops by. Secondly, this ministry is innovative. The team at the Hope Center does whatever they can to spread hope and joy through creative and unique opportunities. It's here that they host free English lessons for all ages, prepare university outreach, and provide music lessons. The Hope Center adds value to their community and equips others to do the same. Third, the Hope Center is rooted in church. Every Sunday morning, you'll find a vibrant faith community meeting together for worship. It's here that you'll see people who connected through English classes or those who encountered faith in university. All these programs are connected to the long-term influence of church. Number four, the Hope Center team is one big family that always has room for one more. As soon as church finishes, the tables are set up for a large family meal where everyone is invited. It's over food that innovative new outreaches are often created. These people just love doing life together, and it shows. Number five, even while North Americans might have helped start the Hope Center in the beginning, its leadership is intentionally transitioning away from depending on foreign input. The Hope Center is raising up leaders from within, which have phenomenal impact within their community. And finally, number six, Hope Coffee. The Hope Center leadership is doing whatever it can to find alternative revenue streams to fund its ever-growing ministry, serving the city of Chechensao, while providing job skills training and income to sustain the Hope Center long-term. In my travels around the world, I have toured countless ministries and community programs, but what I saw at the Hope Center truly encouraged and inspired me. I hope you'll have an opportunity to also visit the Hope Center soon.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me to share with you today. I think it's my third time here in Linden now, so I recognize a few more faces, and I think I recognize some other ones. And I'm excited to be back here with you today, and it's been good to hear some of the stories of what's been going on here, and also to get to share with some people already about what's happening in Thailand. My name is Rebecca Hebert, and I've had the privilege of serving in Thailand for almost 6 years now with MB Mission, now called Multiply. And over these 6 years, I've really come to love Thailand. I work in a province called Chechensao. The capital city of Chechensao is Chechensao City, and I live right in that city. So sometimes I talk about Chechensao province, and sometimes it's Chechensao city, and I don't usually clarify in my update letters, so I'm sorry. Chechensau is known for rice fields, factories, and a really famous temple called Wat Sotan, where people from all over Thailand will come to worship. When people ask you where you're from and you say Chechensau, they say, oh, Wat Sotan. Chechensau province is currently 0.173% Christian, which is about 1 in 580 people that are believers in Jesus. The majority religion of Thailand is Buddhism, and there's also a significant Muslim population, but the church in Thailand is growing. The video you saw a minute ago was put together by a short-term team that came to Chechensau last summer, and it captures many of the reasons why I also love the Hope Center. The Hope Center is a local church, it's a training center, and it's also our foundation office for our province that provides us with visas and work permits to be able to live and work in Thailand and share the gospel. We teach English there, baking, music, and build relationships with people in the community. I've had the privilege of working in other parts of Chechensau province as well, where people are starting to share the gospel, disciple others, and begin cell groups in the hopes of planting a church. I've been mainly working with two local leaders. Pastor Chin is leading Bethel Church after God dramatically transformed his life, bringing him from being a witch doctor and a fortune teller to a lover and follower of Jesus. He is led by the Holy Spirit, and just this last 2 weeks ago now, he was responsible for hosting family camp for all of our Thai MB churches and had a crowd of 170 people, which I think is really awesome because we've never beat 100 before. And I also work closely with Pastor Nat. Pastor Nat is probably the one that I spend the most time with. Pastor Nat came to know Jesus when she was 25, and now close to 30 years later, she is planting her second church and dreaming about planting a third church. She's a woman with a lot of vision, and so her vision for Chechensau is this: to see 150 new believers this year so that in the future 50 of them can be sent out to plant churches. She's not afraid to pray big prayers. And I don't know if we'll make it there this year, but we are already seeing some of those prayers become reality as there are people coming to know Jesus, and there's people who are part of our churches saying, we want to plant a church in our community. Will you help us? And so right now in four different communities, we have Thai, Not, Jane and Jaren. I think there's a picture. Yeah. Thai, who's in Banpo, Not, who's in Bangrajet, Jane and Jaren in Lembradu, and Aiken Om in Tathagiyep, who are all saying, we've been coming to church for a while. Our church, our community doesn't have a church. Lots of people find it too far to drive. We want to make a difference in our towns and share the gospel and bring people together to worship God. And so they're saying, walk alongside us, teach us, help us, because we want to make this happen. So one of those people is Thai. But I'm going to just back up even before Thai to this lady named Goy. Goy came to know Jesus through a trek team 7 years ago. The trek team, which was a short-term team for about 6 months, a group of young adults came to serve alongside us in Thailand. And they frequented her coffee shop. And so the girl on the left side of the screen there is Jill, and she was part of that trek team that came and led Goy to know Jesus. They began to share the gospel with Goy, and she put her faith in Christ, and her life began to change dramatically. And since then, Goy has really lived out her faith, and her friends and family have really taken note. One day, I got lost taking Pastor Nat to a meeting in Chonburi, and we found this city called Pantong, and it was a city where we drove through, and I did not know where I was. But as we drove through it, we noticed that there were no churches. So we went to Goy and we said, what do you know about this city? And she said, well, I have an older sister and she runs a coffee shop in this city in a restaurant. And there are no churches in that community. And we thought, God, what are you inviting us to do? Like, did you have a reason for us to get lost here? Were you actually inviting us into something bigger than we thought? So we started to pray for the city of Pantong, and we went to Goy's sister's coffee shop, and we would pray there for the city of Pantong. And one day as we were sitting there, Pastor Nat was sure that Goy's sister would be the first person who would come to know Jesus in that city, and that that was how we were going to start this church, that she was going to be our open door. But we went and we went and we prayed and we prayed, and to this day, that sister has not made any further movement towards coming to know Jesus. But one day while we were at the coffee shop, we met another lady, and her name is Thai. She is Goy's younger sister. And she was raised by Goy's relatives because her parents didn't have time to raise her, but they were relatives. And when I met Thai, she was working at this restaurant in Pantong. She was running away from a broken relationship, and her older sister had offered her this job. So we met her, and as we were praying that day, Pastor Nat said to me, "No, I don't think it's going to be Goy's older sister at all. I think this is the sister that God's going to use to open the doors to this community." But about a week later, she was gone, and she'd run off to the city, and we didn't hear back from her for months. The next time I met Thai, she was very pregnant, and she was at Goy's grandparents' house. And so we started to talk to her, and she said, "I want Hope Center to raise my child." And we thought, how does a church raise a baby? Like, you're going to give the church your child? And she said, yeah, because she was given away as a child, and we were just seeing this cycle about to repeat itself, and she knew that Goy was so loving, and Goy had been so transformed, and she saw all these changes in her sister, and she thought, if my child is raised by that church, my child's going to know that it's loved. And so she said, "I want Hope Center to raise my baby." And so Pastor Nat surprised me and said, "Yes, we will." And I thought, okay, how do we do that? But the day that Thai gave birth to baby Sam, Thai made a decision to follow Jesus Christ and to keep her child and raise him in the church. And so we rejoice that Thai came to know Jesus through that. Thai's prayer for her son has always been that he will be loved. And baby Sam is now 2 years old, and he is very loved. He likes to practice with the worship team, and we had a baptism right before Christmas. And as I stood there at this baptism, at the swimming pool where we had the baptism, with all of these adults standing around and baby Sam running around, as most two-year-olds like to do, I just thought, if he jumped into the water, how many people would be in there after him? Because that kid is so loved, and how God has answered Thai's prayer. When Thai gave birth to Sam, we started to go visit her at her grandparents' house every week, and we started in Genesis, and we worked our way through a lot of the Old Testament, sharing the stories about the people in the Bible and talking about Jesus and hearing what she was learning. And as we shared with her, we found out that her grandparents were also listening in, and we found out that her grandpa actually really loves to read. So we offered him a book, a really special book that we really like to carry around with us. And that book is the Bible, and he started to read it. And so when we'd go visit him, we would ask him, "What did you read about this week?" And he would say, "Well, this week I read about this guy named Moses," or, "This week I read about this king, and he made some really dumb decisions. Why did he do that?" And so we would be reading through these stories with them. And one day, Goy's grandpa announced that he wanted to follow Christ. And so we called a bunch of the people who were involved in sharing the gospel with him, and lots of them were on their way to the park to go running, which is why there's a lot of people in exercise clothes in that picture. And we all gathered together and celebrated with him as he prayed to receive Christ and made that decision to follow Jesus. And even though he's passed away since then, his decision to follow Christ really paved the way for his family to have the freedom to make that decision to follow Christ. Goy and Thai no longer have the other relatives saying, "What are you doing? You've abandoned our religion. You are no longer part of this family." They're saying, Yeah, you can have the Christians come and sing his favorite worship songs at the Buddhist funeral, and you can, we're okay with it if you don't participate in these things that the family's always done that involve sacrificing to idols. Now Thay is taking Bible school by correspondence, and she's preparing to lead a church, whether it's in Banpo or whether she ends up leading the Hope Center, I'm not sure. She's opened up a coffee shop in her neighborhood where she hopes that she will be able to share the gospel with a lot of people. Another person that I've really come to love is Wani. And Wani is about to graduate from university. Wani met Christ through the love and witness of Gan, one of the members of Hope Center Church. Wani's parents were divorced when she was young, and in high school she went to a Christian school because she couldn't pass the entrance exam to get into any of the normal schools. And at this Christian school, she expressed her opposition to the gospel very openly, but deep down she felt empty inside. After moving to Chechensau, she made it her goal to make friends, so she went to every party she was invited to. And then she got to know this girl in her class named Gan. Gan kept inviting her to join the Christian club that we had at the university. And then she began to go. And at this Christian club, they would start by going around and finding people in the cafeteria and sharing the gospel with them. And then they would gather together and they would play games and have worship and have a Bible teaching. And so she started to go, and she even began to share the gospel with other people alongside of her friends. And one day as she was sharing the gospel, she realized that she'd begun to believe that it was actually true. So after helping with the Christmas outreach one year, she made the decision to follow Christ. Wani now funnels her passion into sharing Jesus with other people. She doesn't get discouraged when people don't accept the message right away. Instead, she thinks of the number of people it took her to share the gospel with her before she made that decision to put her faith in Jesus Christ. And her joy and her love for Christ is contagious. I want to thank you. Thank you for being part not only of what God is doing in Linden, but also part of what God is doing in the world, whether that's in Belize, in Thailand, and in other places. These stories that you've heard today, I hope you claim as your stories, that these are things that you've been part of because you have. And so I want to thank you for your prayer and for your support over these last 6 years. And I also want to let you know that if you want to hear more stories, I have a sign-up sheet on a display table out there. And if you want to get monthly update letters from me, you can sign up for those. I also have some, they look like little collector cards. They're prayer cards for different people who are part of the church or part of English classes in Thailand. And you can take one of those. If you want to take someone home to pray for, you can claim one of those to pray for from the table downstairs too. So thank you.
So like I mentioned, this song is might be new to some of you, might not be new if you ever listened to 88.9 lately, because it's been on there quite a bit. But hope you'll sing out. Thank you.
Redeemer, living Word. Good morning. This morning I will be reading from John chapter 21, verses 1 to 14, and it is in page 829 in your pew Bible. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there: Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I am going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, and they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some. So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciples Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed to the shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. Bring some of the fish you've caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead.
We just celebrated Easter last week, rejoicing that Jesus rose from the dead. And this week I want to explore one of the times that Jesus appeared to his disciples after rising from the dead. The story that was recorded in John 21 was just read for us. But now I want to go through it slowly and imagine exactly what was happening as each part was taking place. As the story begins, seven disciples are together. Then we have Simon Peter announce, "I'm going fishing." This is what Simon Peter did before Jesus came into his life and called him to fish for men. Now here he is after Jesus has risen from the dead already and already appeared to the disciples two times, announcing that he is going back to fishing. Maybe they were running low on food, or maybe he wasn't sure what he should be doing with himself. Maybe he was going to make it his job again. I don't know. But for whatever reason, he decides to go fishing. Then six other disciples say, "Me too, I'm coming too." They go off and they fish all night long. In the morning, they hear a friendly greeting from shore. Maybe it was the morning mist, or maybe they were so focused on their tasks that they weren't noticing, but they didn't recognize the voice or the person on shore calling out to them. Jesus says, "Fellows, children, have you caught any fish?" The disciples skip all pleasantries and proper addresses and say, "No." Then the man on shore instructs them to throw their net down on the right side of the boat. I wonder if Peter or one of the other disciples had a flashback at that moment. Doesn't this sound kind of like another story you've heard? In Luke 5:1-11, a story is recorded where Jesus borrows Peter's boat to preach from. Peter has already been fishing all night long and caught nothing and is on the shore washing his nets. But Jesus needs a platform for his teaching so that the whole crowd can hear him. So he asks Simon Peter to take him out on his boat. And when he is done teaching, Jesus instructs Peter to go back deep into the sea and let his nets down again for a catch. Despite any doubts he might have had, and despite having cleaned his net already, he goes and he catches enough fish to fill two boats. Now Peter is back in the fisherman's boat, doing what he'd done in the past, but this time Jesus had already called Peter to move from being a fisher of fish to a fisher of men. At the man on shore's instructions, the disciples throw out the net and catch so many fish that they can't haul the whole load in. Then the disciples Jesus loves recognizes that it's actually Jesus on shore. He says, "It is the Lord." Simon Peter, ever a man of action, puts on his tunic and jumps into the water to swim back, unable to wait for the boat to get to shore, since they aren't far away. Everyone else stays with the boat and bringing the boat and the fish back to shore. Upon arrival, breakfast is waiting. Jesus, ever the servant leader, has prepared some fish and bread, and he immediately invites the disciples to bring some of the fish they've caught to contribute to the meal. So Simon Peter goes back to the net, drags it to the shore, and finds that there are 153 big fish and a net that had not torn. As you picture this event taking place, where do you find yourself? Are you restless like Peter, not quite sure what to be doing, but going back to what you've always done? Or maybe you're on the boat and you're focused on your task and not even recognizing just how close Jesus is. Has Jesus called out to you, but instead of saying, "Yes, Jesus," did you answer him with the shortest answer possible? No. Maybe you've been working in your own strength for a long time, but now you recognize that you can't do this on your own, that without God's power, all your efforts are as fruitless as the disciples fishing all night long. So you dare to take a risk and act on Jesus' command. Or maybe you relate to the feeling of failure and the disappointments that the disciples might have felt before Jesus' command. But let's look at Jesus' response. Jesus both instructs them about how they can catch the fish, but also shows hospitality to them, preparing the fish and bread and starting a fire to welcome them, even inviting them to bring their contribution to add to the meal. I see Jesus' kindness all over the scene. The gentle reminder that he provides, that he serves, that he invites us to be part of what he is doing. And he is so near that he desires intimacy with us. The disciples receive the gentle correction that Jesus gives, and at this meal, they receive a recommissioning from the Lord. They are reminded of who they are and who they're called to be. They are challenged to get back in the boat and try again in more ways than one. I want to share one more story from Thailand with you. And this is a story that I think illustrates the second chance giving God that we serve. Not first heard about Jesus 7 years ago from the same trek team that shared the gospel with Goy. Not and Goy were running the coffee shop at that time. One day, Knott saw a white guy walking by, and he called out to him. The guy bought coffee and began to bring his friends, and Knott thought, "Wow, this is good for business. If there are white people drinking my coffee, other people will think it's good, and they'll come." And so he thought, "I'm going to make money." But when they shared the gospel with his friend, and his friend made a decision to follow Christ, he began to watch her life transform, and they both started to go to cell group with this group of short-termers. At cell group, he heard about how God answers prayer. And you see, Knott was about making money, and he had a side business of delivering baby shrimp to the people who would raise it and sell it for greater profit. And so he began to pray as he delivered these fragile little shrimp. And he would pray that these shrimp would be stronger and that they would be good quality and that they would last. And then when he delivered them and they were good and he was complimented and had more orders, he would imagine that he'd done it on his own. You see, Knott had grown up paying his way through school by winning boxing championships and by taking care of pigeons. And so he knew that he could take care of himself. That was his mindset. And even though he'd prayed, he still went back to that mindset of, "I prayed, but I did this." One day, he came home to find his mom lying face down on the floor, cold and barely breathing. And so he drove her to the emergency room, and as he drove, he prayed. And after dropping her off at emergency, he sat in the car and said, "Okay, God, you win. This is something I can't control. I cannot do anything to make my mom better, but you can. And if you do this, I will believe that you really are God." God healed Knott's mom that day. and she was able to come home later that evening. When Knott started to really follow God, he was kicked out of his neighborhood by his brothers. He is the youngest of 7 boys, and most of his brothers have jobs at the local temple. They said, "If you're going to follow Jesus, we don't want you here." So he moved out and later was invited back into his community when his mom was sick again and none of his brothers wanted to take care of her. Now Knott is working in a town called Bangerjet, and he is trying to start a church amongst the people he's been selling baby shrimp to. What I see in Knott's story is the story of God's grace and the story of his redemption. And I see it in this story in John 21:2, where Jesus appears to his disciples. Jesus doesn't come angry. He comes as a servant and he welcomes and he says, "Yeah, I have more for you than this. Come, come eat with me and experience what I'm actually inviting you into." When I hear Jesus question, "Have you caught any fish yet?" I don't think it's a, "Hey, where are those fish? What are you doing?" I think it's a gentle invitation to remember that there's a greater calling on our lives. And so today, I believe that God is inviting us to be fishers of men, just as he invited his first disciples. He's providing what we need, and he's asking us to contribute from what we've already received from his hands. So today, I would invite you to consider what God is inviting you into in this world of fishing for men. Maybe you carry a vision to see the world reached with the gospel, and maybe you've been there and it didn't go quite how you wanted it to. Maybe today Jesus is recommissioning you into your identity in him and into your calling to walk in his strength and by his power to accomplish what he desires to do in and through you. Or maybe he's just inviting you today simply to stop and to have breakfast with him. Jesus loves you, and he is a very good cook. So when he invites us to have breakfast, he just wants us to come and spend time with him and to have that intimacy that he created us for. So I want to invite you to think about that today as you go on your way, that Jesus is calling and Jesus is inviting you to be fishers of men, that that's actually a calling he's placed on every Christian's life. And go in peace.
Choose the humble and raise them high. You choose the weak and make them strong. You heal our brokenness inside and give us life, the same love that set the captives free, the same love that opened eyes to calling us all by name. You are called. the same God that spread the heavens wide, the same God that was crucified is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name.
The same love.
The same love that spread the captives free. The same love that opened eyes to see is calling us all by name. You are calling us all. Spread the heavens wide. The same God that was crucified is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. Jesus Messiah, name above all. Jesus Messiah.